very blasé and all, like as if he didn't even know people were looking at him. Modest as hell. I got a big bang out of it. Old Sally didn't talk much, except to rave about the Lunts, because she was busy rubbering and being charming. Then all of a sudden, she saw some jerk she knew on the other side of the lobby. Some guy in one of those very dark gray flannel suits and one of those checkered vests, strictly Ivy League. Big deal. He was standing next to the wall, smoking himself to death and looking bored as hell. Old Sally kept saying, "I know that boy from somewhere." She always knew somebody, any place you took her, or thought she did. She kept saying that till I got bored as hell, and I said to her, "Why don't you go on over and give him a big soul kiss if you know him? He'll enjoy it." She got sore when I said that. Finally, though, the jerk noticed her and came over and said hello. You should have seen the way they said hello. You'd have thought they hadn't seen each other in 20 years. You'd have thought they'd taken baths in the same bathtub or something when they were little kids. Old buddy ruse. It was nauseating. The funny part was, they probably met each other just once at some phony party. Finally, when they were all done slobbering around, old Sally introduced us. His name was George something, I don't even remember, and he went to Andover. Big, big deal. You should have seen him when old Sally asked him how he liked the play. He was the kind of a phony that have to give themselves room when they answer somebody's question. He stepped back and stepped right on the lady's foot behind him. He probably broke every toe in her body. He said the play itself was no masterpiece, but that the Lunts, of course, were absolute angels. Angels, for Christ's sake, angels. That killed me. Then he and old Sally started talking about a lot of people they both knew. It was the phoniest conversation you ever heard in your life. They both kept thinking of places as fast as they could. Then they'd think of somebody that lived there and mention their name. I was all set to puke when it was time to go sit down again. It really was. And then, when the next act was over, they continued their goddamn boring conversation. They kept thinking of more places and more names of people that lived there. The worst part was, the jerk had one of those very phony Ivy League voices, one of those very tired, snobby voices. He sounded just like a girl. He didn't hesitate to horn in on my date, the bastard. I even thought for a minute that he was going to get in the goddamn cab with us when the show was over, because he walked about 2 blocks with us, but he had to meet a bunch of phonies for cocktails, he said. I could see them all sitting around in some bar with their goddamn checkered vests, criticizing shows and books and women in those tired, snobby voices. They kill me, those guys. I sort of hated old Sally by the time we got in the cab, after listening to that phony Andover bastard for about 10 hours. I was all set to take her home and all, I really was, but she said, "I have a marvelous idea." She was always having a marvelous idea. "Listen," she said, "what time do you have to be home for dinner? I mean, are you in a terrible hurry or anything? Do you have to be home any special time?" "Me? No special time," I said. Truer word was never spoken, boy. "Why?" "Let's go ice skating at Radio City." That's the kind of ideas she always had. "Ice skating at Radio City? You mean right now?" "Just for an hour or so. Don't you want to?" "If you don't want to..." "I didn't say I didn't want to," I said. "Sure, if you want to." "Do you mean it? Don't just say it if you don't mean it. I mean, I don't give a darn, one way or the other." Not much, she didn't. "You can rent those darling little skating skirts," old Sally said. "Jeanette Gultz did it last week." That's why she was so hot to go. She wanted to see herself in one of those little skirts that just come down over their butt and all. So we went, and after they gave us our skates, they gave Sally this little blue butt-twitcher of a dress to wear. She really did look damn good in it, though, I have to admit it. And don't think she didn't know it. She kept walking ahead of me, so that I'd see how cute her little ass looked. It did look pretty cute, too, I have to admit it. The funny part was, though, we were the worst skaters on the whole goddamn rink. I mean, the worst. And there were some Lulus, too. Old Sally's ankles kept bending in till they were practically on the ice. They not only looked stupid as hell, but they probably hurt like hell, too. I know mine did. Mine were killing me. We must have looked gorgeous. And what made it worse, there were at least a couple of hundred rubbernecks that didn't have anything better to do than stand around and watch everybody falling all over themselves. "Do you want to get a table inside and have a drink or something?" I said to her finally. "That's the most marvelous idea you've had all day," she said. She was killing herself. It was brutal. I really felt sorry for her. We took off our goddamn skates and went inside this bar where you can get drinks and watch the skaters in just your stocking feet. As soon as we sat down, old Sal